Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm Ewan Spence, and Tom GK is recording the greatest album of all time on today's show. Yes, good afternoon from Edinburgh, good morning from Edinburgh, good evening from Edinburgh to our listeners in the capital city. Oh, we've got a great show for you every day, including today, that you might want to go and see. For all of our listeners outside of Edinburgh, oh, we've got a great show that you're going to be jealous that you can't see, or you're hoping tours close to you. Yes, that's the fun of the Fringe podcast. Things that you want to see but can't, things that you can't see but want. There we go. We've been doing this for 17 years, and it's that same balancing point. So yeah, we're going to mention when a show is on, but telling you when a show is on, that takes about 30 seconds. We're going to find out more. We find out more in all of our interviews. Those of you who've been around for previous ones will know that we love going into the corners and the unexpected alleyways that we find in conversations. Tom, who's working in music, who's been a journalist, who's doing stand-up, who has partial deafness. Many, many corners and alleyways to go into. And if they intrigue you, go along and see the show or find out more from Tom online. And if the whole idea of this intrigues you, then go listen to more podcasts from ourselves, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. And if you stumbled over us, give us a follow in your iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. I say iTunes. It hasn't been iTunes for a long time. It's just Apple Podcasts now. But there we go. Yeah. Amazingly, everybody still knew kind of what I meant. Anyway, let's go into the interview booth. Tom GK, how to record the greatest album of all time. You sit down, you press record, you rewind it, you press record again. You sit down, you press record, you rewind it again, and you overlay, and you overlay, and you overlay, and you eventually get Amarok by Mike Oldfield. Is that the answer, Tom, to your show?
I think that, well, I do have a part of my show where I say that my bid is to record the greatest album of all time. So that is the kind of the journey of the show.
Yeah.
It sounds like an impossible task. And maybe similar to what you've just said, if you play all the other albums at the same time, then suddenly my task seems manageable. So that's kind of the conceit of the show, or at least makes it possible.
Yeah, and also, somebody listening has now went to a popular music streaming service to find out what Amarok is, and they are going to have the greatest 72 minutes of their life.
Okay, absolutely. I am, after this conversation, going to do the same thing.
Let's stay be sure. Tom GK joins me now on the Edinburgh Fringe Show. How to record the greatest album of all time. You've went big because you've went album. Why not just, you know, make sure, you know, aim low, aim for a single and yeah, achieve your goal?
Well, aim high. Aim high, I guess, is the thing. And albums are so important, aren't they? They're so great. You can have a single and it can kind of be there on the radio every 5 minutes for a while. I remember Blue Aberdee years ago, apparently, was being played in Europe somewhere every 120 seconds. So you can have that and then it can be a flash in the pan. There'll be younger listeners who are saying, Blue Aber what? Whereas an album stands the test of time. It's a beautiful thing. It's a story. It's a journey, and aim high.
We're going to sound like two old musos here,
yeah,
because I'm going to go, but isn't the album dead because of streaming? Because streaming values 3 minutes of listening over multiple tracks, and if you have an album on, you don't get as much money as releasing singles all the time. Isn't the album dead?
Well, that's what they've said for ages, isn't it? They've said that for so long. And also, I think there's a lot of aging musos out there who are actually the people making music. You know, people like Jack White or Radiohead are, you know, so many artists out there are thinking of the album as something masterful to create. Another Arcade Fire or another band who seems dedicated to the cause. And of course, then there's me.
Yes. How did you get here? And I do not mean that in a sort of, did you get a train? Mm-hmm. How did you, Tom, get here?
Okay, so let's say 2022 now. So about 12 years ago, I was a music critic for the Daily Telegraph. And that was my dream job for a nightmare newspaper. And other opinions are, of course, valid. Yeah.
Jinx.
There I was giving Bob Dylan 5-star reviews, Norah Jones 5-star reviews, Usher 5-star reviews. In 2010, 10 years after his last hit, I don't actually think I was that good a critic, but one thing that I learned is if you give people nice reviews, you end up on their Wikipedia page. So you can find me on Britney Spears' Wikipedia page, on Bruno Mars' Wikipedia page. Anyway, so that was kind of the good stuff that was happening around then. The bad stuff was that I was also on a journey that would end up with me being diagnosed with a disease called neurofibromatosis 2, the really bad sequel. And it ended up taking away a lot of my hearing. So I'm completely deaf on my left ear, and I have about 40% hearing on my right. And so that's been quite the journey. I think at that time I thought not only could I've always played a bit of music. Not only would that go away, but also this great love of my life would kind of disappear. And as I say, a bit of a journey. But now I kind of feel confident that I've got hearing for a little while. And I'm going to use that to aim big. So yes, not a single, an album.
So you still have the disease. It is a degenerative condition?
So essentially, we'll get dark just for a second and then build it back up again.
A bit like Bruce Springsteen and Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that.
So I've been on chemotherapy for about 10 years and it's changed my life in a couple of bad ways, but it's basically been brilliant because I'm one of the first people to have it and it's kept my hearing stable for pretty much 10 years. So although the prognosis historically has always been very much deafness, we don't quite know, and my doctors have started talking about my 50s, so I'm 35 now, so that sounds like there's enough time for this titanic mission of recording the greatest album of all time. I've got the time, I need to use it.
If you listen to the music that you loved from 10-20 years ago,
yeah,
and you, I mean presumably you're listening to it in mono, and is it just quieter, or have you lost frequencies?
Well, I try not to dwell on that. I do obviously listen on mono, and I put all of my devices in such a way that I can hear in mono. But my doctors and other people around me are always complimenting me on how much I have adapted, and so I haven't. To be completely honest, when I was about my first band was probably when I was about 16, and I suddenly had this fear, because young men are stupid, aren't they? So I had this fear that I had tinnitus pretty much straight away. Maybe it wasn't a fear, I did have tinnitus. And so although it was when I was 25 that I ended up being completely diagnosed, it's sort of a journey. So I guess really the question is, if I listen back to Getting Jiggy With It, a song that I was big with when I was 11, yes, maybe I would hear it different, but it was a slide. My hearing loss was a slide, so maybe I just adapted. It's a good time to lose your hearing. A lot of older people lose their hearing, and it's kind of tough, right? They've got a lifetime of hearing and then it goes, but I sort of had it early when maybe my brain was ready to adapt.
So how does this work in the show? Does that mean that you can only hear heckles from one side?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have to request the audience to laugh a little bit louder as well. Otherwise, they're being ableists, obviously. So it's on them, really. Yeah, I mean, my shows, to be honest, they're really nice. My shows are nice. It's kind of, I talk a little bit about disability. I talk a little bit about my journey. I kind of create a space for, a nice atmosphere. I'll tell you a very quick story about a show that I did with a really good friend of mine who is called Tom Skelton. And first day of primary school, I was sat next to him because we were both called Tom. We both ended up going into comedy. It's a beautiful story. And we ended up doing a kid show in Australia. And my favourite moment in comedy was when we were doing this kid show. It was about, so he went, he also has this genetic disease, went blind. and I've got this deafness thing going on. We did this show about disability, and there was this little girl who ran up after a show, and she said, I've got Down syndrome, in the most beautiful, like, proud way. And that was exactly what we were trying to do, to try and create that atmosphere. So, yeah, so hecklers need to work a bit harder. But I also, I'm not creating, like, an abrasive atmosphere in my shows.
So is it storytelling? Are you making songs up during the show? What can we expect over the hour?
Yeah.
I mean, don't give away too much, obviously.
So it's a little bit of storytelling. And it's also a little bit about getting under the bonnet of trying to record the greatest album of all time. I have this bit about chords and the different personalities that they have, and I have synesthesia, so it's a little bit about the colours and the experience that I have. And so I guess, what's that programme called? The Repair Shop, where you get to see how music works in that kind of a way. You don't need to have any knowledge about music. I'd really get down at the Duplo level, but that's kind of part of it. What I would love people to come away from it is maybe a tiny little bit of knowledge, obviously lots of laughs, but a tiny little bit of knowledge and a real kind of feeling like they've just seen a tribute to music, because it is the greatest thing in the world.
You've done this show countless times now.
Yeah.
What's the bit of music knowledge, music fact, that you know the audience is going to go, oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So I kind of talk about the relationship between different chords.
Before you start the chords, Tom, mm-hmm. you are aware that music licensing on podcasting is a little bit awkward.
Yes.
Yeah, so can we just get people to imagine the chords?
Oh, absolutely. So major chords and minor chords are probably quite famous. People know what they are. So major is quite a boring kind of a chord. It's positive, but yeah, boring. So I kind of call it Kenneth. Kenneth is an A major chord, and he's an older sibling, pretty responsible. While all the other chords were out there doing their arts degrees, following their dreams, Kenneth joined the civil service, and he wanted a good pension. That's why he did it. Lucy is a minor chord, she's also really strong, had a tough life, but she's strong, stable. But you have these seventh chords, and there's dissonant. And so that's kind of Ernie, disruptive in class, not very academic. So it's kind of like that sort of thing. And when you're playing the chords alongside, I think people can hear that. And it's kind of like it's a lovely thing for people to go, oh, yeah, I kind of hear that. Same with resolutions, chords being resolved. That's kind of like my favourite thing about music. You have this dissonant sound and it's resolved. So that kind of thing, yeah.
So where can people hear the show, I suppose, is the one here.
Hear the show. So they can hear it at the Mash House at 6:10. And it's pretty much every day. There's a couple of days off. I don't work Tuesdays. Basically because I need a day off. I'm 35 now. I'm not the spring chicken I once was.
And Bob Geldof already had Mondays.
And absolutely. So it's pretty much every day. And it's a nice show.
And for those people not in Edinburgh, where can they find you online?
So I am on Instagram at TomGK, doing TomGK things. And I'm also on Facebook.
Lovely. Tom, thanks very much for your time.
This has been really enjoyable. Thank you.
Tom GK there, and as always, we will have links directly into the Fringe box office website at our website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com, and you need the direct links in this year because you can't just search in the app because there's no app and you have, oh. Anyway, we'll also have links to Tom's social media presence as well, so you can keep up to date with his shows here in Edinburgh during August and the rest of the time as well, because the artists don't go into hibernation for 11 months. They're continuing to work around the calendar clock throughout the year with lots more arts, comedy, stand-up, theatre, music, listening, all of that and more. You're going to find some great people here you can follow throughout the months and the years as well. That's the delight of the Edinburgh Fringe, making new connections, new friends, and finding new acts to support. We're doing that here with just a handful of tasting notes from the Fringe, and we'll be back with another small menu tomorrow. Ta-ra for now. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.